Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
It is time to open your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts, and chapter 11, Peter has stood before the council. He's already rehearsed what God had taught him concerning the gospel going to the Gentiles. And he says in verse 16, "Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?" In other words, the gospel going to the Gentiles. "And when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." Let's all stand together. Everybody standing. God, I'm going to preach a single word this morning. I'm going to define it, and I need your help. And I can't exhaust it, but I can cover what's in this text. And Lord, I know that this is a word that is greatly misunderstood in America, especially in America. And Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would just take the word of God and drive it home. And those of us that need conviction this morning, I pray we would be convicted of our lack, of our own misunderstanding. And God, those that aren't surrendered, I pray, God, that we would surrender. And Lord, if there's someone here not born again or watching live stream, not saved, we pray for their salvation. Being born again is the biggest thing that's got to happen in their lives. And Lord, may they understand that this morning. My danger is that I'll be real wordy this morning, Father, because there's a lot of material. Help it to be concise. Just guide my thoughts as I preach. And Lord, we pray for an anointing from above. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to preach on the word Christian this morning. It is the most misunderstood, misrepresented, mistaken word probably in the English language. The word fundamentalist is very close to it, by the way. And I take great pride in living down the wicked, unbiblical stereotype of what a Bible fundamentalist is. I take great pride in trying to show the world that a fundamentalist is a sinner saved by grace, in love with Jesus, and surrendered and full of joy. I take great joy in trying to dispel some of those misconceptions. The word Christian. Let's read the text. Let me preach through it just a little bit. I'm just kind of a touch on some bases here, and then I want to come back and I want to give you six or seven things that start with a B that are right here in this text that really describe to us what a Christian is. Verse 19 says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen," and by the way, persecution, that's what the devil tried to do to destroy the church. And every time persecution comes to the church of Jesus Christ, there is great growth. Every time persecution comes, there is a purifying. There is revival. So I'm not afraid of COVID-19. I'm not afraid of pestilence or persecution. It is good for the church of Jesus Christ. It weeds out those that are playing the game. And boy, if I could, let me stop right here and say this. Here's the premise of the message. All Christians are believers, but not all believers are Christian. All born-again people are believers, but only surrendered born-again people are believers, are Christian. So there's like two classifications here. There are those in the family of God. Everybody's born again, but only the surrendered born-again are Christians. All believers, all born-again, all Christians are believers, but not all believers are Christians. Christian is an earned title. It's earned. That's what the world called the followers of Christ, believers, brethren, the born again. In the book of Acts, those of the way. That's what the world entitled them. The word Christian means like Christ. More specific, little Christs. So what we're going to find here, we find in this in the church at Antioch, we find believers that are so much like Jesus, the world looked at them and identified them with Christ and said, they're just like Christ. They are little Christs. If that ever happens at Fundamental Baptist Church, look out Chippewa County. Man, if that ever happens the way it's supposed to, from top to bottom and from side to side, man, look out. There is going to be a harvest because the world is crying out for Christians. The world is crying out for born-again people who are surrendered, and no surrender is too much. That's what was going on. Let's read it together now. Verse 19, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phenis, that's Lebanon, and Cyprus, that's an island, and Antioch, only, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Antioch, there were three Antiochs in the Roman Empire. This is the larger, this is a cosmopolitan city. It is the third largest Antioch in the Roman Empire. Verse 20 says, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, these are the Hellenistic Jews, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the Lord and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. What's got to happen for a great number to believe? Persecution. Persecution, and then people being revived and repenting of their sin. And then they get bold. I'm going to share all those things here in just a moment. Let me read another verse. Verse 21, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, and he was a Cypriot Jew, by the way, all right, sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, interesting wording, was glad and exhorted them all, and with purpose of heart that they would cleave or continue unto the Lord. For he was a good man. This is referring to Barnabas. That's kind of a trite word we use today. Oh, he's a good man. No, this was the highest compliment of Christian character. Barnabas was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. He was God's man for the hour. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year that they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Three times the word Christian is found in the New Testament. One time here, and it's an earned title. Another time in Acts 26 and verse 28, where King Agrippa says, almost, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Another time is 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, where Peter encourages the brethren to suffer like Christians. Verse 27, and in those days, these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth or a famine throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. This is above and beyond their tithe. Let's all stand together. Everybody standing for one verse. I saw somebody nodding off. I thought I better get you standing. No, that's not true. Verse 30 says, which also they did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Father in heaven, God, would you bless? We pray that you'd take the word of God and you'd make it live. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Make it live in our hearts, in our minds. May we never escape it. May we never get away from it. God, would you challenge the smallest, the youngest Christian, and the most mature Christian here this morning, child of God, believer, to be Christian, to really live a different life. God, to be surrendered. And we need your help there. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The world is crying and dying for New Testament Christianity. The world isn't crying out for religion or titles or position. Your loved ones and the people you and I rub shoulders with, man, they're not looking for another religion. That's the last thing they want. They may even term it that way in their mind. Man, I got to find some religion that works in my life. But what they're saying, they just don't understand the words they're using. They're not looking for religion. They're looking for Christians, because Christians will point them to Christ. Jesus is the hope of this world. He's the only hope of this age. And God blesses the New Testament church that is filled with Christians. People that manifest Jesus, people that point people to Christ. Man, there's something different about that guy. I don't know what it is. I know what it is. It's Jesus. That's what makes us different. Not religion. I understand this. I know I might be talking to the simplest mind. I might be talking to somebody that's got an IQ of 175, 180. You know, the fact is this. We are called of God to be Christians. And the word Christian is a earned title. You earn it, man. You don't get born again. No, I'm a Christian. That's not how it works. It's kind of like Baptists, all right? The word Baptist, the group called Baptists today in the world, they didn't come up with that name themselves. The Catholic Church referred to them as Anabaptists because the people were getting born again. When they got born again, they were getting baptized, so they called them Anabaptists, re-baptizers, and it was a derogatory term, and it just kind of stuck to a people group. We're not a denomination. We're independent congregations, and we're just New Testament Christians trying to follow God. And the same thing is true with that word Christian. What a great title. What a great earned title. Man, I want to be known as a Christian. I want to be known as someone who reflects and manifests Jesus Christ in good times and bad. Headache or no headache. Difficulty or not. Deep water or up on dry land. Man, I want to reflect Jesus Christ. Persecution, that's where it happens. Persecution, that's where there's purifying. Pestilence, times of trouble, that's when we can reflect and manifest Jesus Christ the most. Okay, I've got the seven B's of being a Christian here this morning. And I know you're thinking right away, one of them is the word Baptist, but it's not. It's not. That's just exactly the opposite of what I'm preaching. Just for those by way of live stream or those that have recently joined the church or those that are new to the congregation, you understand we are not a denomination. There's no hierarchy. We don't send any money to headquarters. Our headquarters is heaven. And we do the will of God, like the church of Jerusalem did, like the church at Antioch did. Not lord over another church. We just try to do things God's way. The very first thing that must happen if you're going to be a New Testament Christian, if you're going to get that, number one is just so very obvious. I'm not going to belabor it. You got to get born again. You got to be a saved person. Look at verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Number one, the first thing that's got to happen is you've got to be born again. You've got to receive Jesus as your Savior and experience the new birth. We've had 11 people get born again in the last 3.5 weeks. 11 people added to the family of God. You say, preacher, how did they do that? Did they go through some ritual? No, no, sir, no, ma'am. They bowed their heart before God. They surrendered their life. They asked, they repented of their sin. In other words, they were sorry about their sin. They knew they were going to hell. And Jesus Christ is the lifeline, the only Savior. And they called out to Jesus from their heart, a heart cry, and asked for forgiveness of sins. And asked Jesus to come into their life and be their Savior. And with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And they were born into the family of God. You can do it all by yourself, by your bed. You can do it all by yourself in your automobile. You could have someone else lead you to the Lord at the kitchen table or at the workplace or in the woods or at the altar at the church. But somewhere, sometime in your life, you've got to be born into the family of God and know you're saved. That you just simply receive and trust the finished work of Christ. You hear what I'm saying? Not trusting your own good works, but the righteousness that can only be provided by God's only begotten Son. And you receive Jesus as your Savior. I'm going to heaven because of His righteousness. I don't have any. I'm a sinner, lost and undone. And that's why a Savior had to come. If I could have made it my own righteousness, the Son of God would not have had to die on the cross. He's the Savior. The number one thing that's got to happen in your life, the first thing that has got to happen is you have got to be born again. Number two, look at verse 20. This is in the church at Antioch. You get bold. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You tell others about Jesus. Verse 20 says, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Be bold. Three times, you know this from the adult Sunday school class from the summer. Three times in 2 Timothy, the last letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. The last words of the Apostle Paul, pretty important. He tells the pastor at Ephesus in chapter 1, don't be ashamed of Jesus. Be bold. I would tell you, the members, the people of Fundamental Baptist Church and every New Testament Christian that's living, don't be ashamed of Christ. Don't blush to speak His name. Don't be that one that cowers back in the corner because someone else might overhear you. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. If you're going to be a Christian, you got to get born again. Now you're a believer. That's good. You're born again. If you're going to be a Christian, then you've got to get bold. You can't be a wallflower. How many times has Pastor Rader said this? It's not for sissies. It's not for weak spine, livered, yeah, help me out there, you know. Linguini. I was thinking about the word linguini, you know, spaghetti thing. I think it's a spaghetti thing, you know. Linguini spine, there you go. You can't be that kind of person. You got to have some guts. You got to have a little bit of steel in your backbone. You know, a little bit of boldness. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, him that will confess me before men, I'll confess that same person before my Father which is in heaven. That's a good thing to know. So you're born again and you're bold. Others heard, verse 20, the preaching of Jesus. Number one, they were bold. Number two, there was persecution. Number three, they were bold all over again. And number four, there was growth, church growth, harvest. People were born again. I don't know what's going to happen in the near future, but I know something big is going to happen. And it could be great persecution on the church in the year 2021. I'm ready for it. I don't relish it. I don't want it for my grandchildren. I don't want it for the people I love, but I'm ready for it, whatever, because I know the church will grow. You say, oh, we'll lose some people. Yeah, I know that. I know that. But we'll gain people that are real. Amen. That's a great thing. And then the whole area can hear the gospel. It says here in verse 20 that they were bold. They had a burning loyalty. Look at verse 21. Born again, bold, and a burning loyalty, verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Verse 26. And when they had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. So for a whole year, there was a burning loyalty to the church of Jesus Christ. You study this out. The early church met 7 days a week. On the first day of the week, they collected tithes and offerings and love offerings to meet needs. But they met 7 days a week for a year. Barnabas and Paul met with the church at Antioch. There was a burning loyalty. Number one, they weren't ashamed of Jesus. Oh, here's another B. It just kind of slipped it in between being born again and burning loyalty. One leads into the other. They got baptized. They got baptized, all right? These are people that joined the local church, Acts chapter 2, verse 41. The number of the church was added unto. There was a burning loyalty. You couldn't keep them away from assembling with God's people with wild horses. Nothing came between them and their church. Nothing, because their church belongs to Jesus. And their church is the bride of Christ. And they understand by being in church, man, they're affecting all kinds of people, lost and brethren alike. Very important. If you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to be a believer, okay. All right. Everybody that's born again is a believer, but those that are Christians, they're the surrendered born again. And I know it, and you know it. Things come into our lives that'll take us away from church. Those things are not of God. Explain it any way you want. You'll stand before God on your own two feet. All right. But they are not of God. Let's read on here. Burning loyalty. God was with them. Verse 21. Verse 23. Barnabas says, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Burning loyalty. They'd continue. They'd stay at it. Verse 26. They assembled for a year's time. They assembled and God blessed them. And there was just, burning loyalty is the best way to put it. Nothing would, they understood how important it was to assemble. So much so that the world looked at them and said, they're different. Man, they're church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Man, they don't miss anything. They don't miss it for ball games. They don't miss it for anything. And there's a burning loyalty, and it made them stick out in a great way. And by the way, there was a blessed distinction in their life. They were distinct from the world. That's why they were called Christians. Verse 23 and verse 26. There was something different about them. Man, they understood. A guy gets saved, and all of a sudden he's talking different. And all of a sudden he's smelling different. And all of a sudden he's going different places. He's got different habits. And he's walking different. They're not just marching to the beat of a different drummer. They're in another parade altogether. It's a different band leader altogether. I mean, their life has been radically changed, and they give glory to God. And they're born again. They're bold. They have that burning loyalty. They have a blessed distinction that makes them different than the world. The word church actually means called out assembly. You're not called in. You're called out, and you're different. And all of a sudden, you have a different mindset, a different thought process. I was thinking this morning in the book of Titus. I think it's in the book of Titus where those that have ungodly minds, no matter what you say, they look at everything through an ungodly prism. It's like everything's tainted. Those that have godly minds, they look at everything through a godly prism. You know, their prism has changed. All of a sudden, they're a different thinking, different kind of person. That's a Christian. That's a Christian. They're born again. They're bold. They have burning loyalty. They have a blessed distinction. And they're biblicists. We know that. Verse 26, he says, I want you to continue. I want you to assemble. Look at Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Turn quickly. I'm almost through. Acts 17 and verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believe, also honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. These Berean Christians were people who were biblicists. They searched the scriptures daily. That's a Christian. That's someone who gets fed from the word of God, and their life is tied to the book, tied to the word of God. There's one more thing. I have two more things. I'll just mention one of them, and I'll preach the other. Number six, they have big faith. Big faith. Because they have a big God. Verses 29 and 30. They take up a financial love offering and send it back to the churches of Judea because a prophet came to them of the Holy Spirit and said a famine was going to come to the world. There was something different about these Christians in Antioch. They had big faith. They didn't use stewardship as an excuse for hoarding. They didn't use stewardship as an excuse for selfishness. Everything they had was God's. And like the brethren at Thessalonica, they even gave above and beyond what they could give. They gave of their poverty. These are Christians. These are giving people with big faith. And I would tell you, we can do great things for God if we just have a little faith. Amen. I started the message out by saying and rehearsing to you, we're getting ready to remodel the bathrooms. We got to do it. Everybody that stands in line in the men's room, you understand what that's all about, right? We're getting ready to do that. We've already got the money for it. God has blessed us. It's just a matter of pulling the trigger, and things are starting to move in motion right now, and it's going to be a great blessing. We're going to be able to add 4 pews to the auditorium. We got to do that. We got to do it. We got to grow. We need to reach the world for Christ. We need more room. And then there's going to be an addition, and that may be this year or next year, and then there's going to be another wings off the auditorium, and that may be this year. And we're not done, man. We're not throwing in the towel. My life is not over. The trumpet is not sounded. You're still breathing air here in this world. You're breathing God's air. You better be serving God, all right? And you're born again, born of the Spirit of God. Let's reach the eastern end of the Upper Peninsula for the glory of God. Big faith. Man, don't start thinking small. Don't do that as a child. You still got relatives that aren't born again. You still got coworkers that aren't saved. Don't start withdrawing. Say, oh, the end is near. Don't do that. Don't wear a sandwich sign, walk up and down the street saying the world is going to end. You know, don't do that. That's not children of God. Let's be Christians. Let's reflect Jesus. Here's something big. Brotherly love. They were benevolent. Oh, my goodness. Christian people, not all born-again people, but Christian people are givers. And they have found over and over again they can't outgive God. They have found again and again that you give a lot, God gives you even more. It's amazing. Pressed down and overflowing. That's how God works. And a Christian is in touch with God. And he or she, they understand that. I can't help but think. Several times I've woke up Friday night in the middle of the night. I woke up last night in the middle of the night. And thinking about what happened, the tragedy on Lake Michigan with a brother in the Lord and his family. Brent Corson, Dave Collins' brother-in-law, swimming with his family, and 3 children. They got a little bit far out, and mom started to get a little concerned and yelled for them to come in. They started to come in, and then they were caught in the undertow. And dad sees the desperate situation and rips off his shirt and yells at his wife to call 911 and jumps in the water. and his youngest daughter is going under. Never thought twice about diving in that water. His children were out there. Knew when he dived in the water, he may not return. But he had a love for his children. That's the love our Heavenly Father has for us. Jesus never thought twice about Calvary. In the family of God, there is a bond. There is a love. Greater love hath no man than he that laid down his life for his brethren. John said in 1 John over and over again, we love the brethren. That's one of the signs of being born again. You have a love for your brethren. That is the family of God. Go to John in chapter 13. John, Gospel of John in chapter 13. Quickly, last verse we'll look at this morning. Jesus said, behold how they love one another. That was the words of the world around them. Jesus said, by this, by love, shall men know that you're my disciples. Verse 34 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Brotherly love. Man, that's a Christian. Someone who loves the brethren. So here it is. First, I'll give you the B's, and then I'll wrap it up another way so it's just clicking, so you all got it. Number one, a Christian is going to be born again. Number two, a Christian is going to be bold. Number three, a Christian is going to be have a burning loyalty to the church of Jesus Christ. Number four, a Christian is going to have blessed distinction. He's going to stand out. He's going to be a biblicist. I didn't belabor that one. He's going to have big faith, and he's going to have brotherly love. We ought to be the most loving people on earth. And if God in heaven, in his holiness, in his perfection, can love a worm, a wretch like me, who is going to disappoint him again and again and again, and I can't love my brother or my sister in the Lord who's punched me in the nose at some point in their life, somehow, some way, they've offended me, if I can't, I'm not much of a Christian. In fact, I may not even be born again, because I'm not exhibiting that agape love that only comes from God. Born again, bold, burning loyalty, biblicist, blessed distinction, big faith, and brotherly love. And I never even included the word Baptist. But, you know, the fact is, as children of God, we have a great responsibility. I want to read the last two verses again. Go back to Acts in chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. And in those days, these days, came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren. They gave of their own, which dwelt in Judea. That's a love offering. See, it didn't start at Fundamental Baptist Church. You see that? Verse 30 says, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Oh, that the world would call us Christians. Oh, that the lost around us would say, I don't know much about Fundamental Baptist Church, but I know this, there are Christians there. Christians. People that reflect Christ. How good a job are you doing at that? Man, where's your walk with God? How's your prayer closet? How's your Bible study going? How's your faithfulness doing? How's it measuring up to the people of God, to the assembly? Man, you ought not to be able to get enough of God's word and one another. We ought to be just helping one another along the way.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.